Good morning, and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you listening. We're also pleased once again this morning to be talking with another candidate in next week's election. We've picked out a number of races, contested races here in our coverage area, and invited the candidates to be here on the program so that potential voters can hear them and also talk with them, call in and ask questions. And as I've said in all of the promos for these spots, this is the opportunity for people who are listening to call in and ask questions, whatever it is that they think is most important, and hear what the candidate has to say. And our guest in this hour is Joe Parnarauskas. He is the candidate of the Socialist Equality Party. He's running for the Illinois State Senate in the 52nd Legislative District. This district is almost all of Vermilion County, except for a little bit at the top, the eastern half of Champaign County, and it does include the cities of Champaign and Urbana, Rantoul, and Danville. There are three candidates in this race, and the other two, Judy Myers, who's a Republican, and Mike Furyk, who's a Democrat, they have already been here on the program. Those shows are on our website if you want to listen to them. If you didn't hear them, you want to hear them again, you can go and you can hear them on the website at any time you like. This is a seat that's now held by Rick Winkle, who's a Republican. He'd made the decision not to run again, so this is an open seat. And again, we have three candidates in the race. And if you'd like to call in here, talk with our guest, you can pick up the telephone and give us a call. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Those are the numbers. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Dave.
I appreciate it. You have lived in the district all your life, grew up in Westville, still live in Westville?
I grew up in Westville, graduated from the high school there, and came to the University of Illinois, where I went into the College of Agriculture in the Ornamental Horticulture program. Spent about three semesters here. Was not disciplined enough at that time, being the young man that I was, and worked then for a local industry in Champaign-Urbana and some of the surrounding communities. Went back to school, graduated from Parkland College as a registered nurse in 1984, and have worked as a registered nurse primarily in the mental health area at Provena Covenant for approximately 17 years, and did a stint briefly with Carl Hospital and Clinic, and also about 3 years at the Veterans Hospital in Danville. Mm-hmm.
I think that what I want you to do, certainly at the beginning here, is to talk about, in really basic terms, about the party, about the Socialist Equality Party, and what it is you're about. I think there are a lot of people who would say, I'm really not sure, although I'm sure people have many associations with the word socialist.
Sure.
So what are your basic concerns, basic issues, basic approach to things?
Sure. I know our party has a rich history. We actually date back historically to the Russian Revolution and the Bolshevik Party. But we've got an excellent website where we explain our history and our platform, and that's the World Socialist website at wsws.org. And people can really get an in-depth view of that. We have an election platform that really goes into depth about our political campaign, not only here in this district, but also five or six other campaigns that we're running in the state of in the United States. Really, our party, we feel, is the only party that fights for a program that advances the interests for working people in the working class. We're fighting to create a society in which the needs of humanity prevail over the corporate drive for profit and the accumulation of obscene levels of personal wealth. In this election, I'm running as the only candidate that is opposed to militarism and war. Voting for us would be a vote against the assault on democratic rights and the attacks on jobs and living standards that is occurring as a result of the policies of both the Democrats and Republicans. And really, it's a vote against the immense concentration of wealth in the United States and the growth of social inequality. And a lot of these issues can really be read in depth on our website.
Right. Well, when I think everybody I know has to work for a living. So I guess I think of them as being working people. Now, there may indeed be a difference between who you're thinking about when you say working people and you say working class. I mean, when you think about your constituency, really, who would that be? Just, you know, describe that.
As far as who, working people or working class?
Yeah. Well,
both. What we describe as working class is anyone who sells their labor for a wage. And I think the distinction between those who aren't working class is if you were to lose your job, it wouldn't be very long before you'd be hurting pretty you know, you'd lose your benefits, you know, you just couldn't make ends meet. And that's versus, let's say, the folks at stock market, Wall Street, who basically speculate with the monies of others and end up making profits off of money from other people. I mean, so working people, working class, are those that work for a wage. The companies that hire them actually pay them less than what they make for the company. And once, if they were to lose their jobs, you know, they'd be in difficult straits pretty quick.
Okay. We have a couple of callers ready to go, and we will talk with them, starting with line number one. These are both Champagne. Starting line number one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. And thanks for the opportunity to visit. I look at these races. I see, you know, and we're in a dual party system, basically, in this country. But I see no difference between the two candidates, Democrat, Republican. And most of what I see is, you know, people who say that they're for the people, and then when you start to doing some internal investigation, you find out that it's more about them padding their pockets. Why should I think that you're any different than that?
I know with our party, we don't accept any political contributions, any monies from corporations. And our party is not supported by big business, and we don't support big business. If you look at the Democrats and the Republicans running in this race, both of those parties are big business parties, and if you really look at the negative campaigning that has gone on these past few months, the reason that my opponents, you know, throw mud on each other is that truly the political platforms of the Democrats and Republicans are very much the same. If the only differences are tactical differences. I think what's important to point out is that the Democratic Party of Illinois did everything they could through many, many times illegal methods to keep my candidacy off of the ballot. And the reason why they did that is because they're not, you know, I hear all the time, you know, worried about pulling votes from the Democratic candidate. What they were worried about was the platform that we promote for working people, and we're willing to discuss issues and that the Democrats and the Republicans don't want to discuss. And those issues are issues of declining living standards in this area, you know, the assault on democratic rights by the two-party system, which the Democratic Party is complicit with.
May I have a follow-up?
Yeah, sure.
I'm much like the interviewer. You say working class people, you know, and we can knock big business all we want, but big business does employ the working class. How do you take that under consideration? And you say you don't support big business. I mean, to me, that's a flaw.
Mm-hmm. You know, we are supportive of small and medium-sized businesses. What we call for really is the means of production to be placed back into the hands of workers, because really it's the workers who produce the wealth of this nation. And what we call for, especially in the essential industries and big business, is that those working in the working environment should be, and essential industry should be democratically controlled and made into public utilities. And corporations should be run in a democratic manner, using workers' organizations in those industries. And it should be the worker that, in combination with each other, who decide, you know, what their wages are, who gets hired, who should be, you know, running the plant, really turning the workplace into the back into democratic control by working people of that industry, and that's why we call for major industries such as banking, finance, insurance, energy. You know, these companies should be democratically controlled. Public utilities operated for the benefit of everyone. What we see now in industry is that the very few people at the top, the CEOs, the major stockholders, the board of directors, they're the ones that are getting countless amounts of money compared to workers. It's estimated that in big business, the average CEO makes almost 400 times the salary of the worker on the production line. So that's what we would say. We would say the means of production need to be democratically controlled by the workers of that industry.
Well, you know, there are four factors to production, and I'm sure you're aware of them. And there is a cost and hopefully a return associated with it. But I do appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Just very quickly before going on to another caller, how much money do you have to spend on your campaign, and where does it come from?
Really, our money, since we don't accept contributions from corporations, our money really comes from the pockets of working people in this district. Our campaign is published on a daily basis on our website, the World Socialist website. And so we do receive some contributions from others throughout the United States. But really, we rely on local people to support our campaign. And again, we've spent considerably less than the Democrats and Republicans. If you look at the State Board of Elections website, the campaign between my opponents, they've spent about $1.5 million. And we have spent, much, much less than that. I mean, with us at the farmers market, we were there throughout the campaign and going door to door. We asked for donations. We'll get $5, $10, $20 at a time. Yeah. So really, it's been that's why you don't see us on TV commercials, radio spots, very few yard signs. Because we just really don't have the money for that.
Yeah, a lot of money has been spent in this campaign. There was a column by Tom Kasich last night in our paper here, the News Gazette, saying something to the effect that it's possible that by the time everything's done, that in the race for the 52nd House District, the spending could be as much as $2 million.
Yeah, it's amazing. What I would like to see in order so third parties such as us can get more involved with the campaign is public financing, and to outlaw financing or contributions by corporations and make a level playing field so that everybody has equal access.
All right. Let's take another call here. Champagne is next, line number two. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mr. Matarazkis, thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to appear on the radio show today. I've just got a question. I have been following this campaign pretty closely on all sides, including your, what I would argue, long shot bid here, but I thank you for taking part of the democracy. This is kind of a two-part question. Historically, the party that you have aligned yourself with, the Socialists, have risen to power through the implementation of, just basically pretty brutal control over the people that they intend to govern, and usually it's with the guise of massive redistribution of wealth, which you have talked about. You always reference the how many billionaires the state of Illinois is plays home to. So I was wondering, the likes of Castro, Lenin, Ho Chi Minh, these are all socialist past. Which one of these do you personally take your ideology from? And to follow up, you said, too, that the Democrats used illegal means to try and keep you off the ballot. And as far as I can tell, there's been no charges or any charges even attempted to be brought up on the Democratic Party of Illinois. So what exactly was it illegal that they were doing then?
Okay, I'll try to remember both of those questions. The first one, a lot of people, when they hear socialist, immediately look back towards Stalin. And if you look back to the Russian Revolution and the struggle by the Bolsheviks. They basically overthrew the Tsar in an attempt to build a democracy. Stalin at that point, and you know, with Lenin and Trotsky and Stalin basically took power, became a bureaucrat. The left opposition, which was led by, I believe, Lenin and Trotsky, you know, fought against this bureaucratization by Stalin. And Stalin brutally oppressed anyone that was against him, and many of the Bolsheviks, the majority of them, as well as the left opposition members, including Leon Trotsky, were ultimately murdered, were democratic socialists. Our party, you know, intervenes in this election. Using the democratic means available to us, when we look at Castro or Chavez, these folks are not democratic socialists. They're if you look at Chavez, he was a military dictator who's really not interested in working people. If you look at Castro again, and they're really Stalinists. They follow the bureaucracy line of Stalin. As far as the other question, which was, I'm trying to think.
Wait, sir, can I just follow up with that then?
Sure.
Are you comparing yourself willingly to Chavez?
No. We're opposed to Chavez. We don't feel that he's a working. He does not represent the working class. He was a military dictator at one time.
He has been since been reelected by the people. Even, you know, as he was trying to be thrown out by a coup, was reelected.
Yeah. But we don't view him, you know, as a socialist. You know, as a socialist, what we call for is, you know, he's not turned the means of production back into the hands of the working people of Venezuela. That has not occurred in Cuba. If you look at the other. Socialist, I guess, if you want to call revolutions, Lula in Brazil. You know, none of these people call for you know, the redistribution of wealth into the hands of the people. They don't call for democratic control of the marketplace. So we explain that pretty well on our website. If you go into our website, and we've written extensively on Castro and Chavez. We're Marxist. We're a Marxist party. We feel that the means of production need to be placed back into the hands of the workers who make the wealth. We're a Trotskyist party. Leon Trotsky led the left opposition in opposition to Stalin, and was ultimately murdered by Stalin because of the threat that he posed to that brutal dictatorship.
I think the other question was about you said that you had felt, in your words, that the Democratic Party had used illegal means to try to keep you off the ballot. And the caller says, well, as far as he knows and as far as I know, certainly no charges have made of any illegal activity by anybody. What do you mean?
Well, if we really look back at our petitioning campaign, and this also occurred during the Mackeman campaign in 2004. We obtained almost 5,000 signatures. We needed just under 3,000. And what the Democratic Party did was just to go through the petitions and kind of shotgun approach, just, you know, marked off people, you know. And with the ballot access laws in Illinois, you are guilty until proven innocent. You know, they did not have to show proof that what they objected to was real. We had to show proof that what they objected to was false. Just in that self, I mean, by attempting to keep us off the ballot, to me was totally undemocratic. We had to ultimately go before a judge in Sangamon County, who then issued what was called a writ of mandamus, which basically said, you know, that everything that he could see, we had met all the requirements, and that forced then the four Democrats on the State Board of Elections to switch their vote, and they voted unanimously to put us on the ballot. Again, you know, the two-party system wants no independent voice for people, whether you're a Green candidate or a Libertarian candidate or a Socialist candidate. The laws are stacked up against third-party candidates. Again, you know, who runs the executive here in Illinois? You know, Democrats and Republicans. Who runs the Congress? The two-party system. Who runs the judiciary? The two-party system. It's very difficult to break into. And you know, we viewed the undemocratic attempt by the Democratic Party to keep us off the ballot as electoral fraud.
So there was no illegality then in that effort whatsoever, correct?
Well,
your party and your supporters just viewed it as being unsympathetic to your cause, when in reality, Republicans and Democrats do it to each other in primaries, Republicans and Democrats do it to each other in general elections, and it's done nationwide, and no illegality or laws were broken. It's just simply the way that the party system in Illinois and across America operates.
Well, I would say that if our party would have had the money, and we would still like to accomplish that. I mean, you know, we could have turned around and tried to do a civil lawsuit, you know, against the state Democratic Party for what they did. Unfortunately, that costs, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars that we don't have. We would like to go after them, but we just don't have the funds to do so.
Mm. Well, I want to thank the caller. We're already at our midpoint here, and I want to invite other people, if you'd like to call in and talk with our guest, Joe Parnaruskas. He is a candidate of the Socialist Equality Party. He is running in the running for Illinois State Senate in the 52nd Legislative District. Again, that district is almost all of Vermilion County. It's the eastern half of Champaign County. It does include the cities of Champaign-Urbana, Rantoul, and Danville. And on these shows, the reason I continue to try to mention these things is that I think that I'm sure there are some people who don't know what district they are in. So I want to make sure that you, if you're listening, you know where you are and you know who your candidates are. There are three candidates in this race. The current incumbent, Rick Winkle, he's a Republican, decided not to run again. This is an open seat. The candidates are Democrat Mike Frericks, Republican Judy Myers, and our guest here this morning, Joe Parnaruskas. And the first two have already been on the show. Those are on the website if you want to go back and listen to them. And here this morning, it's your opportunity to call in and ask a question. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Let's bring it here to Illinois and talk about state politics, state issues. Generally speaking, if you take a look at the state budget, where money is spent, and look at the priorities there, which basically are the priorities of the Republicans and the Democrats, how would you do things differently? And particularly, are there places where we are spending money that you would say, I would rearrange things, I would put more money into different sorts of things than we're doing now?
Well, I think what's important for our state budget is that we focus on the needs of folks, you know, working people in this district and throughout the state. I think a health care plan and statewide health care plan for the people of Illinois is very important. California was in the process of trying to initiate a health care plan for everyone. And what always you hear the Democrats and Republicans say is there just is not adequate monies to fund education, to fund health care. And what we say is there's adequate wealth in the state, but what you need is a party that's willing to come forward and say, you know, there's enough wealth and we need to redistribute that wealth. If we look at the recent Forbes magazine Fortune 400, they don't even count millionaires anymore. They count only billionaires. And the reason for that is this vast redistribution of wealth into the hands of the very few at the top. And in Illinois, they named 19 billionaires. Those 19 billionaires are worth $40 billion. And so when you talk about the rate on the pension plans of retirees in the state of Illinois to the tune of $1.8 billion, I believe, you know, if the parties had the guts to have a progressive, if you want to call it a progressive tax, or an appropriate this wealth from the highest echelons, that top 1% of Illinois wealth, we would have adequate monies to fund many, many programs in this state. Unfortunately, the Democrat and Republican parties basically are bought and paid for by corporate interests. And that's not going to happen. And over the last 25, 30 years, what we've seen under the two-party system is a continued degradation of living standards.
Well, what sort of – here, obviously, you're, clearly what you're talking about is taxing a larger percentage of the wealth of the people who are on the top end of the income spectrum. So what sort of tax rate for the wealthiest people in Illinois, what sort of tax rate would you propose?
Gosh, yeah, that you know, that would be something to look at. I guess you would ask, you know, how much money does a family need? If you're looking at these multi-billionaires, you know, really, is it that necessary that there are people at the bottom that don't have housing, don't have insurance, don't have health care, can't make ends meet, and you have these people at the top with billions? To us, that is obscene, and that's not for the betterment of society. So tax rate, yeah, you know, it would be hard to say percentages, but what we would say is if you would tax the people at the top adequately enough, you know, the people at the bottom would probably have to pay very, very little taxes, if at all. And again, you know, what percentages is would be difficult to say, but mm-hmm. but again, it would take, you know, a party of working people to do so, and because the Democrats and Republicans won't, and they haven't.
Well, let's talk with someone else here. Caller in Charleston, line four. Hello.
Yes. One question, and then hopefully a comment. you indicated a bit ago that that you are a Marxist, or your organization has Marxist ideas.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, then, how do you, with your current comments and your take on the system, how does that square with Marx's revolutionary ideas?
Well, I know we are democratic socialists, so, you know, we...
Okay. Well, that's a far cry from Marxism.
Well, yeah, I would say, you know, Marxism, really, Marxism calls for the means of production to go back into the hands of the working class.
Yes.
How, you know, to achieve that, we feel at this current time that we're working within the current structure. We've intervened in these elections using the democratic process as best as we could, despite the attacks on our ability to do that by the Democratic Party. What we would hope is, as we build our party, that's part of this platform, is to educate people locally and nationally to become interested in the Socialist Equality Party, to read our website, to join our party, to support our party. And to build this mass political party that can ultimately, through democratic means, take power. It'll really be up to the powers that be currently whether or not they are accepting of our democratic right to build a party for working people and to ultimately take political power. I know if you talk about, you know, revolutionary violence, if we look at what the United States has done in its war against the people of Iraq, the recent John Hopkins University study published in the magazine Lancet, estimating over 650,000 innocent men, women, and children killed in Iraq. Now, there's violence, by the state. So that's where we're at. I mean, you know, we don't call for a violent overthrow of the government. We call for the building of a mass political party using the means available for us at this time.
Do you think then that is possible to do under present world conditions, the strength of capitalism and the owning of the means of production, the army, the navy, and all the other militarist arms of the present-day bourgeois class? And somehow we're going to do that democratically. When you articulated yourself, you had a hard time getting through the legal hoops that the state put in front of you in order to even get on the ballot.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed I have to confess, I am a total and utter Marxist, and Marx's prescription that nothing that creates change comes peaceably, and it is reformist and doomed to die, unless though that class that is most interested, which is the working class at this point. I mean, I'm beginning to wonder about them in the U.S., even if they are able to articulate and to execute revolutionary activity because of their own self-interest. And that is a huge hurdle, but there has been the bourgeoisie took power from the church, the feudals, and the monarchs, and that was very violent. And Marx and Lenin, and even Trotsky, too, articulated that same path. And unless you do, then you are doomed to reformism and the things that means. And the money will flow back into the hands of a few again until the paradigm is changed. Do you have any agreement with any of that?
No, I do agree with you. I mean,
okay.
You know, again, at this point in time, if you look, you know, we're using the democratic process, and you can see what the government currently, you know, the attack on democratic rights in this country, how fearful this current, if you want to say bourgeois government is, against the rising anger of the American people in this country. And if you look throughout the world, you know, they've gone to basically attacking our most constitutional rights in this country, the illegal spying on the American citizens, the attempt to negate the writ of habeas corpus. I mean, you know, just how the basis means they've gone to. I mean, the government of the United States now detains people without a cause, places them in prisons throughout the world that we don't even know where those are at, and then tortures them. And this is what a democratic society or a government who claims to be democratic is doing to people. And I think, you know, what's important at this point of the struggle is, and this is what the Socialist Equality Party is doing, is to organize, to educate, and to build a mass political party within the framework that we have at this time. And when it comes to the point, you know, of building that party, to that mass where we can take power, it'll actually be up to the powers that be whether or not they allow us that democratic right, or you know, it'll be their violence that will ultimately determine what path is taken after the democratic process.
Let me I want to thank the caller and get to some other callers. Let me ask you a really basic question. I appreciate the fact that there are a number of issues that you're really concerned about and that they are important national and international issues. Some people, however, might argue that the office you're running for in the Illinois State Senate, what individual members really spend most of their time doing, their concern is constituent service at a very elemental and very basic level. And that on many of these big, admittedly important issues, I wouldn't disagree about that, but on many of these big issues that you've been talking about, the Illinois legislature has no ability to do anything about that. You know, the Illinois sure. legislature has no say one way or another about whether we're in Iraq or when we're going to leave. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're focused on a level of issues that is really above and beyond anything that state government can do.
Yeah. You know, we look at the you know, Abraham Lincoln as being a fairly good guide for us. And if you look back in the 1850s, at that point in American history, there were two parties. There was the Democratic Party and the Whigs. And there was a new third party just coming to the forefront, and that was the Republican Party. And during the campaign for the Republican Party, they ran on a anti-slavery platform where both the Democrats and Whigs were pro-slavery. And during that campaign, the Republicans said, you know, if you vote locally for the Democrats or the Whigs, you're going to be voting pro-slavery. And they carried that campaign all the way from the local level all the way to the federal level. And then 10 years later, the Whigs had folded and the Republicans came to power with Lincoln. And we face, I think, that same situation today in this country, in that we have two parties that have no interest in working in taking care of the working class and of working people. The Democratic Party historically has always been used as a pressure relief valve when things get bad in this country. And in this election, there's a lot of people quite angry with what's going on, not only in this state, you know, with the Blagojevich campaign, but nationally with what's gone on with the Bush administration. And people are thinking that if they go and try to vote Democratic, that they're going to get a better deal. And what we say is that's just not going to be the case. So what we try to do is even though we discuss issues of Iraq, issues of Afghanistan, the war, and, you know, the attack on democratic rights, it directly affects what is happening federally directly affects people locally. We've lost over 100 soldiers to this illegal and criminal war. $400 billion spent federally, approximately 20 billion of that came out of the taxpayers' pockets in Illinois. If you look at $400 billion divided by 50 states, that's $8 billion that if we were to, you know, that could have been used in Illinois to fund basic social programs. And so, again, our political platform for this District 52 race really boils down to educating, organizing, and building the party.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I guess, forgive me for harping on this point, but when I think about, you know, what people in the communities like Westville around the district want, you know, what they're looking for to the legislators for is they want roads. They want to improve their sewer systems. They need fire engines. You know, they want, the people in Danville are going to say to you, okay, Joe, I appreciate all this other stuff, but what are you going to do to bring jobs to Danville?
Sure.
Have you got an answer for a question like that?
Yeah. I would say, you know, to go ahead and I would encourage people to vote for me, you know, to break off from this two-party system that does not offer any alternatives to what is occurring today. You know, to continue to vote for the Democrats or Republicans who say there's not enough money. You know, I say that's baloney. Well, I would say break from this two-party system. Give up on the Democrats and Republicans. Vote for a socialist candidate who promises to fight for them in the state legislature. You know, I'm not going to be supporting the policies of big business. You know, I will be there to be voting for issues that will help the people locally. And in reality, you know, things have not gotten any better under the Democrats and Republicans, and we're just going to have to reject this two-party system and only the Socialist Equality Party. And I encourage people again to read our website at wsws.org. We're the only party that offers any hope to get out of the mess that we're in.
Right. Well, we have a couple of callers here who would like to talk with our guest. We have about 10 minutes left, and let me again introduce Joe Paranauskas. Paranauskas. I imagine I probably said it wrong about half of the time. My apologies.
No, you're doing quite well.
Joe Paranauskas, he is the Socialist Equality candidate for the Illinois State Senate from the 52nd Legislative District. And questions, welcome. We have a couple callers here, and we'll go next to Champaign, line one. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Given the political system, as you've just described, and the difficulties of being a third-party candidate, it seems very unlikely that a socialist will ultimately win this race, although I understand a lot of your fundamental views. How do you feel about votes that may be given to you that ultimately could aid in getting a Republican elected that is pushing to make abortions illegal, opposes stem cell research, wants an abstinence-only education, and thinks that pharmacists should be able to intervene in dispensing contraceptives to women that have been prescribed them by their doctors?
Sure. You know, we're opposed to those policies promoted by the Republicans. But again, you know, we offer no apologies for our entrance into this race. We view the Democratic Party as a rotting corpse of what it used to be. And we call, you know, well, we're opposed to both the Democrats and Republicans, that, you know, that lesser of two evil philosophy, you know, saying that somehow if you vote Democratic that it's going to help you get ahead is false. And you know, we offer no apology for taking votes from the Democrats. We encourage people to vote. You know, voting for us is the only way that your vote is going to count. Because the Democrats have no plan to help people locally, let alone nationally. And so we offer no apology.
We'll take another caller. This is Urbana, and it's line two. Hello.
Hello. I just turned in a few minutes ago, so you might have discussed this in the first half. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what distinguishes your party from the Green Party, because there seems to be a lot of overlapping areas, and I'm just curious about the differences.
Sure. We feel ourselves fundamentally different from the Greens. You know, we do defend the democratic rights of the Green Party to appear on the ballot, just as our party has the right to be on the ballot in any third party. But we view the program of the Greens as one of minor reforms, small palliatives for a social and political system that's utterly rotten. The Greens oppose socialism. They accept that corporations have become the dominant economic institution of the planet, and they really call for them to become more socially and environmentally responsible. But really, even on that issue, the environmental protection issue really can't be seriously addressed outside of a struggle for a different principle of social organization. Basically, the perspective of the Green Party is to pressure the powers that be and their political representatives, whether it's the Democrats or Republicans, rather than to fight for a genuinely independent alternative. I guess, you know, what you'd have to do is take a look what the Greens have done in other countries. If you look at Germany, I think the Greens maybe started in Germany. But they've joined now in the coalition government of social democrats, they've been in total agreement to send German troops to Kosovo and Afghanistan. Again, really, you know, we call the Greens support capitalism. We don't. We call for the means of production to be placed into the hands of working people. And so that's a distinctive difference between the two parties.
If you forgive me again for going back to this kind of question, but let us say that you were elected. As far as I know, you would be the only socialist in the General Assembly, which would put you in a pretty tough position because you really would not have the kind of base that either the Republicans or Democrats do. And I suppose that would make it easy for the rest of the General Assembly to say, "Well, this guy's sort of he's a curiosity, he's an anomaly. We really don't have to deal with him or his ideas." I mean, how would you, in a position like that, really work towards advancing those kind of positions that you've talked about, since you would be the only one?
Sure. I would hopefully, you know, encourage the Democrats and Republicans. I mean, I'd be willing to work with any Democrat or Republican that would be willing to support the platform and the program of the Socialist Equality Party. Short of that, I would try to prevent any legislation that could possibly harm working people from moving forward. As an individual and as a single socialist, I think what I would use the office for is not only to promote issues for working people, but also to promote the building of the Socialist Equality Party and to organize and educate my local constituents, the people of Illinois, the people of the United States, for the need for a total break with this two-party system. I think you know, again, it comes down to I would like to be a burr in the craw of the powers that be in Springfield and in Chicago. I would be there to help expose the criminality that occurs on a daily basis in Springfield. They would, you know, I would be more than willing to work with any member of the opposing parties. But short of that, again, you know, I'd use it to educate, organize, build the party, and I would support any efforts by those two parties that would help working people.
All right. Somebody wants to call here. We do have maybe about 5 minutes. We can get you in. We do have a caller here a little outside the district, but that's okay. Caller here on our toll-free line from Davenport, Iowa. Line number 4. Hello.
Hi there. My question has to do with something that's been very frustrating to me in recent elections. And in terms of my values, we have a lot of people not any longer voting in their self-interest. For example, someone will vote Republican, and I'm thinking, you know, you probably need an increase in the minimum wage a lot more than you need to see the inheritance tax decrease for wealthy people. And I would think that that would relate to your chances of forming a new social organization, because those people are even less likely to vote for the Greens, much less a socialist party. So what's your thought about people not voting in their self-interest?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. When I voted in the past, you know, I must admit, in my past, I voted Democratic Party pretty consistently. I guess, you know, what would I say? I don't understand why people would vote for a party that doesn't support their interests. And that's why finally years ago I decided that I had to reject that concept that, you know, voting for the lesser of two evils. And so that's why I'm running as an independent candidate, trying to build an independent mass political party for working people. And I finally gave up on this two-party system. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
We'll come back here to someone here in Champaign County. This is line number 1. Hello.
Marx has a dictum that says, from each according to his ability and to each according to his needs. And it seems to me that that kind of statement is the kind of thing that Republicans nationwide are working against, trying to undo all of those things that were legislated under the New Deal and past administrations that have any tinge of socialism. In fact, the level income tax is seems to be one of those things that is labeled as a remedy to the progressive tax that is socialistic, taking too much from the rich and not enough from the poor. How do you view the taxing basis for government?
No, I think, you know, what has to occur, Marx, that was a good statement by Marx. I think what really has to be done is that the wealth of the world, the wealth that is produced by this society, needs to be distributed not on the basis of the profit motives of the few, but designed to help the majority. And if we look over the last 20 years, that wealth has gone increasingly into the hands of the very few at the top. And that, you know, in reality, the rich have become a major social problem in not only in this country, but worldwide. And, that needs to change. And we need to have democratic control of the workplace by working people. And we need to move essential industries to become public utilities.
We are almost out of time. We have a couple, maybe a minute or two left. I just want to make certain that if there's some other issue that you really want to talk about, and there are certainly other things that I've talked about with the other candidates that we have not touched on, you know, things like education funding and agriculture and renewable fuels and, you know, all kinds of stuff, very specific Illinois state issues. Is there anything else that maybe deals with has a more local focus to it that you'd just like to talk about?
Well, just briefly, this coming Sunday, we're having a public meeting in Danville at the Danville Area Community College. That'll be on East Main. It's on the same station as the Veterans Hospital. It's at 2000 East Main. And that'll be in the Vermilion Hall on the third floor, and that's from 6 to 8 p.m. And I would encourage local folks, especially in the Danville area, to come to that meeting. They'll get a chance to hear a brief presentation by myself and then the previous state rep candidate, Tom Mackeman, and get a chance to meet us, ask questions, get a chance to meet the candidate.
All right. Well, our guest this morning, Joe Parnarauskas, he's the Socialist Equality candidate for the Illinois State Senate in the 52nd Legislative District. The other candidates are Mike Frerichs, he's Democrat, Judy Myers, Republican. They were here on the program, have been here on the program earlier. Those shows are on our website if you want to hear them. This one will also be on the website if you'd like to listen again. We're really pleased that you could be with us.
Well, thank you very much, David. I appreciate your offer to come.